Welcome back to Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Brian Ellison. Few of us will forget what happened with the Missouri River in the summer of 2011. We remember pictures of water pouring over through levees into farmers' fields and riverside parks in that worst flooding season on record. We remember sandbags coming out to protect little downtowns in what seemed like the third flood of the century in the last few years. But then 2012 brought a whole different kind of awful. An exceptional drought ravaged the region and challenged river and reservoir levels at the opposite end of the scale. So what will this year hold, and what would be the impact of proposals made last month by some members of Congress from Missouri to give the officials new criteria for how they manage our city's most prominent natural feature? Joining us from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is Colonel Anthony Hoffman. He's commander of the Kansas City District. Welcome to you.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners today.
We're glad to have you. And also Zach White. He's project manager for the Corps' Missouri River Recovery Program. Welcome to you, Zach.
Thanks, Brian.
So it's hard to ask this after yesterday's Memorial Day torrential rains and the forecast that Kim just gave us for more rain today, but are we having a drought?
Well, Brian, it depends who you talk to and which area you're in, but I guess nationwide we're still in a persistent drought, but 50% of the nation's in a persistent drought. This area obviously has had some pretty, probably a bit above average rainfall, so we're pretty good in this area. If you talk to folks in western Kansas, they're starting the third year of a drought. So I guess what I would state is this area is in pretty good shape overall. However, the reservoirs in the upper level of the Missouri River system still are not back to where they were, where they need to be with respect to those reservoirs filling. So we still are in a drought. But that does not mean you can't have localized flooding, and there are some areas we're watching very closely right now on the Missouri River main stem.
And you mentioned the Missouri River. I think we all think about the Missouri River as it passes here along our listening area. But, of course, Missouri River, the longest river in the country, right?
That's correct. It's about 2,600 miles long.
So we're talking about a lot of states. Maybe we should take a step back and talk a little bit about what you all do. What is the role of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers? I know you've been on the program before, but refresh our memories.
Sure, Brian. Thanks for the opportunity to kind of educate some folks who may not understand the Army Corps of Engineers. I think it's important to understand we bring a unique value to the region and the nation, and we'll put the things into the context of today's topic of the Missouri River Recovery Program. But our history is really linked to the Army back in 1775, actually. And the key link is to the U.S. Military Academy at West Point in 1802, which mission was to produce a Corps of Engineers to assist in building an infrastructure for then a fledgling nation. Currently, the Corps is the largest public engineering agency in the world, 36,000 folks, about 800 military, and the rest are great civilian workforce. And organizationally, we're broken down by district. We're the Kansas City District, obviously. We've been here since 1907. We encompass a geographical area of five states, 165,000 square miles, with primary mission being civil works, and that expanded to military construction and environmental cleanup over the years. So a couple key projects that you're well aware of and your listeners, Kansas City levees protects $20 billion worth of infrastructure in this region. Brush Creek, people are familiar with that project on the plaza, flood control project. Turkey Creek, another flood control project that saves lives and saves infrastructure, as well as Blue River Channel. So our main mission is three primary areas, civil works, military, construction, and environmental in this area.
And how much control does the Corps, or for that matter, any human agency have really over the level of the Missouri River? I mean, how hard is it to control this this massive body of water?
Well, it's very, very tough. I mean, it's a tough mission. The Missouri River, historically, a very braided, meandering river, and she runs whichever way she wants to go, especially in with respect to flooding like in 2011 or 1993. However, we've got a very large river main stem reservoir system. Really, the entire reservoir system, as Zach pointed out, 2,600 miles long. It's important to understand the magnitude of that system. Six main stem dams, thousands of miles of levees, and a navigation channel of 734 miles. So what does that mean for your listeners out there? There's multiple purposes on the Missouri River, and they impact our regional lives and our daily lives that a lot of people may not see. For example, Brian, flood control. protects lives in events like 2011 and protects infrastructure. Navigation provides the most economical and clean form of transportation. Hydropower, clean energy, cheap energy that's produced from those main stem dams. Recreation. We've got a recreating public here in the Missouri and Kansas area. And also water supply and water quality, producing clean water for our citizens here in the region. All of these purposes generate about $1.8 billion worth of benefits annually to the nation and the region. And I think that's very important to note.
So let's say that we have another year of drought like we had last year, or for that matter, let's say we had another flood like the year before that. Do things change from year to year? Is anything different now in how you are managing river levels?
Absolutely, and I'll let Zach weigh in here in a minute. But yes, definitely, because what we watch really closely is those upper level reservoirs, and they're not filled back. So with respect to navigation, the releases out of the southernmost dam at Gavin's Point have been reduced. Why? Because we don't know if those reservoirs are going to fill back up. So we got to take conservation measures, working with local, state, and federal agencies to do the best we can instead of simply releasing that water for full-service navigation, for instance, because we don't know if those reservoirs will come back.
That's Colonel Anthony J. Hoffman. He's commander of the Kansas City District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. I also have Zach White with us here, works on a project called the Missouri River Recovery Program. Zach, what is the Missouri River Recovery Program?
The Missouri River Recovery Program, as Colonel Hoffman was pointing out, the Corps of Engineers has built this great navigation and flood control system, and it did not go without any losses. There were some environmental losses that happened as a result of that, and so the Missouri River Recovery Program operates under two different authorities: the mitigation project, which is to restore some of those acres of lost habitat when we channelize the river. And then under the Endangered Species Act, we have a biological opinion on the pallid sturgeon, the endangered pallid sturgeon, to attempt to recover that species. So both of those two authorities come together to form the Missouri River Recovery Program.
Now, I want to talk about some of those specifics and some of the issues that are facing the Missouri River, but I also want to pay some attention to the news. Last month, four Missouri members of Congress introduced legislation to change the list of priorities, the list of things that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers should consider. It's got eight things on it, and one of those, eight, is fish and wildlife. The proposal, which is now pending in the U.S. House of Representatives, would remove fish and wildlife from the things that the Corps of Engineers is charged with worrying about as they manage the Missouri River. Does the Corps have a position on that legislation?
I would state, Brian, again, we do what Congress gives us the authority to do and appropriations to do. So my only opinion is we execute the program when it exists. That's really way above my pay grade in
sure.
terms of the politics involved. But our job is to execute the program with taxpayer dollars to the best of our ability.
Fair enough. Well, let me ask you this then, Zach. Is it a burden for the Army Corps to consider fish and wildlife concerns?
I don't think so. I do think it's very important for us to look collectively at all the authorized purposes together. Removing fish and wildlife, it wouldn't remove our responsibility under the Endangered Species Act to protect and recover that pallid sturgeon. The Corps of Engineers has a huge responsibility to balance all of these competing purposes. And so I don't think it would have a huge effect. And to be honest, as Colonel Hoffman said, we don't really worry about that. We just execute as Congress has told us to.
Well, sure. And you mentioned there are some other federal laws at work as well, like the Endangered Species Act. You mentioned the pallid sturgeon, and this comes up every couple of years. There's the piping plover and the least tern and all these species that we really only hear about when we're talking about river management around here for the most part. How important are these species to the ecosystem, to the area?
Well, I think it's important not just to look at just the pallid sturgeon. When you look at the overall health of the Missouri River, there's a lot of Missouri River native fish that are in decline. And the pallid sturgeon has been the most affected by it. And when you think about just one fish, it kind of makes it puts a lot of emphasis on that one fish. But the Missouri River, what the Corps of Engineers and the Missouri River Recovery Program is trying to get a healthier Missouri River for all native Missouri River fish.
I want to invite our listeners to be part of the conversation. What do you think should be the priority in how the Army Corps manages the Missouri River? What value do you see, or don't you see, I guess, in considering things like the environment or other values like recreation or economic development? Invite our listeners to join the conversation by calling 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. 888. You can also tweet us at KCURCST. Colonel Hoffman, maybe we could talk about what some of the other considerations are in how you manage water levels. You mentioned a couple of them a little while ago. Besides fish and wildlife concerns, what are the highest concerns, and what are some of the others that you take into account?
Sure, Brian. That's great. Flood control, obviously, is the primary purpose that we look at. 2011 is a great example. All others really took a backseat to flood control. Why? Because it's life safety, it's protection of infrastructure, and it's really protecting the lives of citizens. So when push comes to shove, flood control is the preeminent purpose of those 8 authorized purposes on the river. We watch it very closely. We work very closely with the local and state levee sponsors on making sure those levees are ready for a flood fight, even during drought, because people forget about floods during droughts. So it's even more important for us to make sure we have that link with the local, state, and other federal agencies for flood control. That is the preeminent purpose.
And when you have to make hard decisions involving flood control, I'm thinking of the blowing up levees so that farmers' fields got filled with water. Who decides that?
Well, in the case of that was the Birds Point levee. It was in a different area down near Cape Girardeau area. But it's a decision made by the leadership of the Army Corps of Engineers, but we also have stakeholders involved too. But ultimately, these projects have congressional authorization based on, you know, decades of flooding, et cetera. These systems have been put into place, and I think generationally, they often haven't had to be tested to the hilt like in 2011 because those systems have been so good. So we lose sight of the fact that 40, 50 years ago, we had massive amounts of flooding year in and year out, but with these systems in place, now it becomes years or decades when that really happens. So these systems protect lives. They're economic drivers for the nation and are often forgotten about until push comes to shove with respect to, say, a flood of 2011, for instance.
We're talking today about the Missouri River here on Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Brian Ellison. My guests are Colonel Anthony Hoffman, commander of the Kansas City District of the Army Corps of Engineers, and Zach White, who runs the Missouri River Recovery Program for the Corps. Zach, the group American Rivers listed the Missouri River as one of America's most endangered back in 2012. Now, they've come off that list this year, but I wondered, what do you think? Is the Missouri River still in danger?
Well, I think what they were getting at, if I remember correctly, is there was a lot of political things going on at the time, and I think the impetus for that was they wanted to make sure that the Corps of Engineers and the groups that are involved in the Missouri River were able to make sure that fish and wildlife and things like that were able to continue to take place.
And in your view, is the Corps doing what it needs to do to make sure that happens?
I think so. I think we're very successful in a lot of areas, and especially in one particular area, we have a hatchery program along the Missouri River where we actually are able to take and spawn pallid sturgeon in a hatchery and then release them out into the wild. And that's a very successful program, and it's allowed us to make great gains towards recovering the pallid sturgeon.
Tell us about the pallid sturgeon. Why has it been so affected by river levels?
You know, a couple of things, and it is primarily as a result of some of the Corps' actions. When we built the main stem reservoir system, that choked off a lot of sediment. The Missouri River used to carry 5 times more sediment than it does today. Hmm. And also, when we built the dikes and dams that you can see out there in the Missouri River when it's low, when we built the dikes, it channelized the Missouri River, and it made it a uniform channel for primarily navigation purposes. And so there's not many places of refuge for the fish to be able to get off that main channel where there's swift water. So those are the two primary things that affected the pallid sturgeon.
And so what do you do then? So when you have to create, I guess, habitat for the pallid sturgeon, what do you go in and do?
Well, again, I said there's two authorities. One's the mitigation project, and the other is compliance with the Endangered Species Act. Under the mitigation project, what we do is we buy land from willing sellers, and then we develop that land. We turn it over into habitat to restore some of that habitat that was. For the pallid sturgeon, what we do is we build off-channel habitat like sidebars, and we build islands and things like that for the fish to be able to get off the main stem of that swift-moving Missouri River and into some slower water and some backwater areas.
Pallid sturgeon's one of the species. What are some of the others that you're particularly concerned about?
Well, pout sturgeon is the only one that we have authority to look at, but all native Missouri River fish are affected by our projects in a good way.
I read that you're not only worried about fish species, but also insects that are down 70%, which, you know, it sounds like a good thing to a lot of us, but apparently insects are an important part of the ecosystem too, huh?
I would say everything in the food chain plays a pretty big role.
I wonder, Colonel Hoffman, if these efforts are ever at cross purposes. I mean, but with the things that you're talking about, economic development and flood control, these seem like very high priorities for the Corps. But are there times when you just can't do both things?
Well, Brian, I think the challenge is balancing all eight of those purposes. You know, flood control, navigation, irrigation, water quality, water supply, hydropower, fish and wildlife and recreation. Our job is to balance those purposes to the best of our ability, working closely with, you know, the stakeholders, the tribes, et cetera, in the Missouri River Basin. Easy to balance one, easy to do one, but tough to balance all eight. And that's the mandate we have. And we, you know, we embrace that. We take our mission very seriously, and oftentimes they are at crossroads where somebody that may be more recreation-based or hydropower, you know, as their primary purpose, they're at odds a lot of times. And sometimes, oftentimes, we become the honest broker to do the best we can in balancing all eight, and that's a challenge.
I want to invite our listeners to be part of the conversation. If you have your thoughts on what should be the priorities in managing the Missouri River or questions about how it's being managed right now, 816-235-2888. You can also email us at centralstandard@kcur.org, 235-2888. Let's talk with Dale in Kansas City, Kansas. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning to you. I was curious about what was happening with the hydropower on the Missouri. Are you meeting your expectations? And there was another site that I was interested in. Did the Warsaw Dam ever turn out to be, and I know that's not on the Missouri, but did the Warsaw Dam ever turn out to be the producer for hydroelectric they thought it would?
Yeah, Dale, I'll take that one. That's a great question on hydropower, one of the eight authorized purposes. Very important, as you know, and a lot of your listeners know, produces very, very clean, efficient power from, you know, the turbines that are propelled through those dams. With respect to hydropower, they're producing a lot of hydropower off those main stem dams, and they work very, very closely, and that's in the upper reservoir. To answer your direct question, in this area, in Warsaw, we've got two projects in the Kansas City District that have hydropower. Truman Dam and Stockton. In fact, right now, as we speak, they're putting a new turbine in Stockton that assists the Southwest Power Administration. We produce the power, they market it and sell it. So, one, yes, hydropower is going very well in the Missouri River, producing a lot of power. And then back in Truman and Stockton in the Kansas City District, both of those do produce hydropower and have successfully done that to allow the Southwest Power Administration to have to market that power.
Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit, Colonel Hoffman, about any other projects that are going on right now in the Kansas City area.
Absolutely. Two very big projects. Well, three. We're coming to a close on the Blue River Channel. It's taken about 35 years, and that's just how the budgeting process goes. But that project is coming to a close, very successful project for the citizens of this area. A couple others, the Kansas City levees, huge project funded in the president's budget right now. It's listed at $11 million for fiscal year 14. But the importance of that 60-mile levee system is huge. There's 94,000 jobs, $20 billion worth of infrastructure behind that, and over 24,000 citizens. So that's an ongoing project of a seven levee system, 60 miles long. The other one is Turkey Creek. Been very successful. It's been getting funding from Congress and did a walled channel that's been put in, has already produced some benefits. And this is off Southwest Boulevard, where a lot of those folks have been flooded for decades, I think 12 times in the lifespan. And this will offset those particular flooding conditions and be cheaper for the taxpayer and for those businesses off Southwest Boulevard. So those are three in particular that have been very successful and ongoing projects in the Kansas City region.
Zach White, the Missouri River Recovery Program is responsible for a variety of sort of projects, right? What all are you up to?
Well, there's two things that local residents could come out and see, both of them near Atchison, Kansas. One project just opened up in November called the Dolby Bottoms Project. It's about 1,000 acres, and it's about 85 acres of channel that or of shallow water habitat that we built on that. And another one that we have is Benedictine Bottoms, and it's just upstream of Atchison, and it's about another 1,000 acres. Both of these sites are operated and maintained. They're owned by the Corps of Engineers, but operated and maintained by the Kansas Department of Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism. And so local residents could go out there. It's open to the public. It's open for bird watching. It's open for hunting during season. It's open just to get out and see what the natural habitat's like.
What will they see?
A lot of places they'll see wetlands, they'll see riparian forest areas, they'll see shallow water habitat, side channel chutes, islands, and things like that we've either constructed or allowed to happen.
Let's take a call from Dwayne in Kansas City, Kansas. Dwayne, welcome to Central Standard.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hello.
We focused a lot of our attention on drought flood control. Let's shift to managing drought. If we look at our lakes in Kansas and Nebraska, they've been drawn down quite a bit to the point where people have had to remove dockage or boats from the lakes because of the water levels being so low. And the Corps is organized on districts. So when the Mississippi is calling for water for barge traffic, how is that coordinated on a national scale to make sure that the Missouri isn't in the lakes that provide recreational and habitat aren't being drained to support river traffic on the Mississippi? I'll take my answer off.
Thanks so much for the call.
Sure, Dwayne. I'll take that. It's a great question. Three of our 18 lakes in the Kansas City District have a navigational purpose. It's Perry, Tuttle, and Milford near the Fort Riley, Manhattan area. Rarely, if ever, though, are those releases really tied to mainstem Missouri River navigation. Back to the Missouri River. An authorized purpose is not to provide navigation for the Mississippi River. So that specifically received a lot of information last year because of the severe drought in the Mississippi River. So how the Missouri River is managed with respect to navigation is based on those upper-level reservoirs. For instance, right now it's at a conservation pool, and we're producing a 8-by-200-foot channel for navigation, which is minimal for navigation. Max is a 9-by-300-foot channel. Why are we doing that? Because of the conservation measures and the fact that we don't know if those reservoirs are going to fill back up to the appropriate level. So how do we manage drought? We take a hard look at how much water is released, because once it's released, if those reservoirs don't fill back up by snowpack, plain snow, or precipitation, we run the risk of not having any navigation. So right now we're at conservation measures with respect to navigation. In 2011, for the entire season, navigation was at full navigation support from 1 April to 1 December. And that did, an offset of that was to enhance, it did enhance navigation in the Mississippi River, but that was not a purpose of why it was maxed out at 9-by-300, okay? So two clearly different purposes. Navigation in Missouri is tied to the reservoir levels and the upper-level reservoirs.
So we're almost out of time, but I was scrolling through some of the news we have here at the top of the hour, and I see that there's a river flood warning issued by the National Weather Service. There's one actually at Sibley, one at Napoleon, one at Waverly. They're all across the state. What does that mean, and what do you do about it in 15 or 20 seconds?
What does it mean to us? Emergency management and disaster recovery are one of our primary missions. We had the Joplin recovery in 2011, as well as Missouri River flooding. What it means to us is we're working very closely with the local and state folks with respect to levee sponsors to ensure they're prepared if there should be a localized flood fight. Precipitation is the main reason why floods occur in this area. We're watching it very closely.
That's Colonel Anthony Hoffman, Commander and District Engineer from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Also have Zach White, Project Manager from the Missouri River Recovery Program. Thank you both for being with us today.
Thanks, Brian. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you being here. You can subscribe to our podcast. You can hear this conversation again or our earlier one about Missouri transportation. You can access any of our previous shows from the Central Standard page at kcur.org. Tune in tomorrow when we'll examine the KC Housing Authority, which recently freed itself from 20 years of federal court control. Our show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton with Suzanne Hogan. We had help today from Ross Steinmetz and Sangeeta Shastri. Up to Date is next with fueling a car with social media and trekking across Kansas on foot. So stay tuned for that. I'm Brian Ellison, and this is Central Standard.